appreciate, be able to use, help you to have a balanced interpretation of Scripture. Tonight, I want to bring out some of the more practical things. You remember the story. Most children know about Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And this is the story, the history of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had been promoted. Look at verse 49 in chapter 2. Daniel requested of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel was in the gate of the king. So here are these three men. They've been serving the king faithfully, but now a crisis arises. Having been told, when Daniel interpreted his dream, that he was the head of gold, it seems as if this puffed him up. And now what he has done is to erect an image 90 feet high, all of gold, the metal that depicted Nebuchadnezzar as king of Babylon. And he has decided to unite all of the provinces and all of the territories over which he reigns and have them at the dedication of this image to come and listen to the music, and at the sound of the music, fall down and worship this image. What happens is this. These three Hebrew children who have been so faithful to Nebuchadnezzar, doing what they could to carry out righteously and efficiently the duties that were theirs in his kingdom, now they are called upon to do something that a power higher than Nebuchadnezzar commanded not to be done. And for that reason, they are reported. And having been reported, look at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. And he questions them. He gives them an opportunity. He wants to know if it has been an accident. And he tells them in verse 15, if you are ready now, even after the report I've heard about you, when you hear the sound of the music, when it's time to fall down and worship this image, if you do so, well. But now, look in the middle of that verse. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then he commands about the furnace to be heated 7 times more than was customary, and his command was so urgent, and the furnace was so intense in heat, that the men that were casting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace were burned up while doing that. Now, look at verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. He spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the aspect of the fourth is like a son of the gods. I can explain about that to you tonight. Then Nebuchadnezzar commands them to come out in verse 27. And it says that all of these men that were gathered together saw these men, that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither was their hosen changed, nor had the smell of smoke passed upon them. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and have yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And then he makes a decree concerning any that shall speak against these three. And verse 30, Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the illustrations that you give us. We remember that in the New Testament it speaks that way. Take as an example of suffering. And then you tell us of Old Testament characters. Then you say, concerning men of faith, you bring before our eyes these three who quenched the violence of fire. We thank you, our God. We pray that we shall take this to heart. Let us know that as children, we were so interested in these stories of the miraculous. But our God, now that we are mature men and women, we look upon them in our great need in living for Thee, to Your honor, without compromise, in this present evil world. So our God, impress these truths upon our hearts again. Remember all the requests that were spoken. You know them all. Remember them. Bless our nation and us tonight. Let the time together be well spent, profitable, enjoyable, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. I can still remember from some 30 years ago a dear man who, until his 20th year was coming up, he had had no problem being a member of the auto workers union. And then he was confessing to me, when this union had demanded that he put on a placard, that they strike, that they do everything in their power to disrupt the management for which they were working, and he knew in his conscience that he should not do this. But he was coming to get some support from me, and this is the confession he made. He said, I want to live honorably and simply before God. I want to do my job well, and after 20 years I want to retire and get my pension and have no more associations with this union. But what had happened was this. 19 years they gave him no trouble. But now, as a Christian, he had joined this union, and I am just telling you these things. He had joined this union, and this union had demanded that he do things that his conscience would not allow him to do. And yet, he was doing them, and he was pricked to the heart because he knew he should not do them. But, he said, if I can just sin until I complete my 20th year, then I can get out and repent, and I can enjoy all the fruits of my retirement pension. And he openly and honestly confessed this truth to me. And so I told him that I could sympathize with him, but if he were compelled to do things that his conscience and the Word of God told him not to do, then what he should do would be to get out of this organization, whatever the cost. But of course, he did not. Let me tell you about Paul Malcolm, the one who comes and plays with us. There were those of the orchestra, members of the union, and they were going to strike, and their strike could endanger the survival of the symphony orchestra. And they came and spoke to Paul, and they said, even though you haven't joined us, what we want you to do is to give us some money so that we can pay our lawyers to fight this union so that we can get more. And Paul said, no, I'm not going to give you any more. I'm not going to give you any money, and I'm not going to any more talk to you about this situation. He said, it's wrong, and I have no intention of doing anything about it. Now, how many friends do you think he had among the union members after that? But he took a stand, and that's someone I know today. And I remember another instance of a fellow that went to school with me in Canada years ago, and the Christian man that he worked for. He said, we're going to have a sale tomorrow. We're going to reduce all of our clothing 50%. He said, all right. He said, I can figure that out. If it's $100, it's $50. And if it's $50, it'll be $25. He said, that's right. But what we've got to do all night long is to go and change the prices. And instead of $100, put $175. Instead of $50, make it $85. And then give them half price discount on that. And this Christian said, you can't do that. You said it was a 50% reduction of the prices that the clothing is supposed to cost. The man said, you do what I tell you to do or you are fired. And as I remember, he was out of work and he needed this money to go through Bible school. And so there are some people that go along until a crisis arises and they say, you have to deceive, you have to disobey the commandments of God, you have to join in, you have to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, you have to do things that God's word forbids, or else you're going to suffer the consequences. Now, I told you about the first man. He said, I'm not going to suffer the consequences. And so I wonder, because there are things that you and I have done in our past lives, and then when we think over it, and we are reminded of those things again, we are so ashamed. And some people who have delivered up their friends, who have turned traitor, have committed suicide when they thought of what they had done. But there are some like this man who compromise, and then the rest of their life, every time the paycheck is received, he has to look at it and say, I'm enjoying this paycheck at the expense of disobeying God. And others, though they may not enjoy a paycheck and retirement security, they're able to look God in the face and say, I lived for you. I obeyed your word. Now, I'm telling you these things because those that have worked in secular occupation, eventually it comes up, and they have to somehow justify what they are doing, or else say, what I'm doing is wrong, but I intend to keep on doing it because I must have security in this world. So you figure this thing out. I know one man that was a fine Christian gentleman, and he was a representative of the unions. And so when someone was asking me about the unions, before I said, do not be a part of the unions, I said, you go and speak to that man. There may be things that I do not know about them. I had thought of the verse, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be not in a position where someone who is over you can tell you something to do that's wrong. And at times, God will honor you if you take that stand. At other times, he will honor you, but not in the way that you want to be honored, letting you pass the suffering that is associated with taking a stand for God. And this is what finally happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I tell you that It looked as if all were well because they had been promoted, and this king knew of their God, and he had praised the high heaven, this God. Look in chapter 2 now. Look in chapter 2, verse 46. Because I want you to understand about the natural man. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. Why? Because of the revelation God had given to Daniel to interpret that dream. And he commanded that they should offer an oblation of sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou hast been able to reveal this secret. All right, there he is, you see. Nebuchadnezzar is now converted. The God of Daniel is the only true God, and he worships and serves him, and he will never do anything against this God for the rest of his life. That means absolutely nothing. And this is how so many Christians are deceived in the confessions of faith that come from men in prominent places. If you had heard some man say today, your God, the God that you serve, the God of Jesus Christ, he's the God of gods and the Lord of lords. You would say, why, that man is a Christian. It means absolutely nothing. And I'm going to show you that now. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. There's been warfare between the Syrians and the king of Israel. And in verse 16 of chapter 20 it says, and they went out at noon, but then Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions and so forth. And then he finds out that Ahab is going to give battle. And when the battle takes place, it says in verse 21, and the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. All right. Since they've been defeated, that's the end of the matter. Oh, look at verse 23. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their God is the God of the hills. Therefore were they stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. All right. Now, look down at verse 28. And a man of God came near and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is a God of the hills, but he is not a God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. All right. Why would I bring this to your attention? I'll tell you why. Turn back to chapter 2 now, and listen to what he says carefully. He says, of a truth, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets, seeing thou hast been able to reveal this secret. The only thing that he has confessed is that Daniel's God is a God who can reveal secrets. But now in chapter 3, look at this. Chapter 3, verse 15. Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the music, you fall down and worship the image which I've set up, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Do you see the parallel? You say yes. When Ben-Hadad fought against the king of Israel and was defeated, he said, yes, their God is a God, and he fights for them in the hills, but he will not fight for them in the valleys. He's only a God of the hills, and he isn't a God of the valleys. And God heard that, and he said, I'm going to show Ben-Hadad that I am a God of the hills, and I'm a God of the valleys, and I'm a God of the land, and I'm a God of the sea. I am the Lord, your God. And when he says, I am the Lord, that covers everything. And so, what Nebuchadnezzar had said in chapter 2 was not, I acknowledge you as the all-powerful God. He said, the only thing I acknowledged you as was the God who can reveal secrets. None of my gods that I serve can reveal secrets like that, but it does not mean that you are a God who can do more than that. Yes, you work in the mind. You know the secret thoughts of the heart, but let's see if you are a God who can deliver from a burning, fiery furnace. And I take it that just as God heard the insult of those that were fighting against Israel in 1 Kings 20, he has now heard the insult of King Nebuchadnezzar, who is at enmity with his followers, who were willing to go for 3 years eating pulps and not enjoy the king's dainties. And now they're ready to lay down their lives. And it may have been different, except for this. Nebuchadnezzar said, and who is that God will deliver you from my burning, fiery furnace? And God says, I will show him what kind of God I am. That I am not only a God who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, but I will show him that I am the God of fire as well. And this is what we, as his dear children, must learn. The apostles did not know it. We should understand it. If God manifests a certain attribute, we are to understand that having manifested one of his powers, it does not mean that he is limited and that is the only power he has, but having executed that power, he can execute all of his powers for the deliverance of his people. The Lord Jesus expects you to understand that. You say, how? When the Lord Jesus had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes and had fed the 5,000, he expected his disciples to know that he was able to meet any emergency. But when the storm on the sea came up, they were not aware that he who could miraculously turn the loaves and the fishes into a sufficient amount to feed 5,000 was able also to command the wind and the rain and the winds and the storms and the sea to obey his voice. They were not able to comprehend that. And the Lord Jesus said, how is it that you do not understand? How is it that your heart is hardened? Now, Christian, if our God is able to do one miracle, is he limited in doing another kind of miracle? The only thing that our God is unable to do is that which is morally wrong, that which is unrighteous. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, that is something that God cannot do because it is morally wrong. And anything that is unrighteous, God cannot do. And therefore, if you say, well, can God save a man who will not yield his will to God? The answer is, he is able to do it, but he will not do it because it is morally wrong. God's way of salvation is, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And the Lord Jesus said, how often I would, but you would not. So what you and I as God's children have to understand is this, that our God is able to do all things. And if he has worked one miracle, interpreting that in your life, then he is able to interpret, he is able to do any miracle. And that is the way that we are to interpret the workings of God in the Old Testament. But, I'm thinking of this, the children of Israel, having seen God miraculously feed them with manna, out of heaven, having miraculously seen him give them water to drink out of the rock, they said, can God? And God said, you have tempted me these 10 times. What God wants us to understand is that having done one miraculous thing for us, he is able to do all miraculous things for us. The only thing that is holding him back is this. Is it morally? Is it righteously justified, or is it my will to do it? And that is something that we do not know. Paul, crying unto God, remove this thorn in the flesh. The Lord Jesus said, no. He said, my will is not to remove that thorn in the flesh, but it is to give you more grace. I want the thorn in the flesh removed. The Savior says, my grace is sufficient. And I will tell you something that the Savior said. Mary and Martha, when the Savior came and he had waited 4 days, and their brother Lazarus had died, they said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. Let me tell you what Jesus said earlier to his disciples. He had spoken to them in a symbolic way. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. They said, why, if he's sleeping, everything will be all right. Finally, the Lord Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Jesus is glad when a man dies. He said, I am glad I was not there to the intent that you may believe. They did not know that Jesus had more involved in his working out of his will in their lives than the simple preservation of the life of one that he loved. Jesus loves me, yes, but even though he loves me, through the suffering in my life, he is going to forego a hurried coming to the beck and call of someone who says, my brother is sick, save him from death. The Lord Jesus says, he's dead. I waited until he died, and I'm glad that I wasn't there, because I have a lesson I want you to believe. You say, that is a hard lesson. Yes, but if I know that that was the lesson that Jesus wanted to teach them, how much it means to me. When I pray for a loved one, and that loved one dies, and Jesus says, I am glad that I was not there, that I did not come to his rescue. Why? Because I want to work this grace out in your life. I want you to believe. Therefore, and I would say, well, I hope he's going to do that in your case. Let you die that I may believe, rather than I die that you may believe. But what happens is this, sad to say. There are many loved ones, and they have different experiences, but it is not that God is a God of the hills, but he's not a God of the valley. It is not that God was unable to do this and that. It was that God had some other thought in mind about which you know nothing, nor I. But understand that God is able to do all things, and if he does not do it, it is because of the moral, willful resistance of those for whom we are praying, or else it is that God has some other plan that he wants to work in the hearts of his people, and it may be that you do not know it for years. It may be that you'll never know it until you get to heaven, but there is some reason behind God's delay when he does not come and Lazarus is sick and at the point of death. There is some reason behind it. All right. If this is so, look now at this confession of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who is that God that shall deliver you from my burning fiery furnace? And in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. It is a good thing when the Christian today knows that giving all the theological reasons as to what God can do and God cannot do, it is not necessary. They know that if you talk until you're exhausted explaining the ways of God, some will never accept it. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, he said, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. We do not have to give a defense. We have heard what you say. We understand what your intentions are. We know the meaning of that idol that you set up. We understand all about it. We have no need to answer thee in this matter. You have said that if we do not worship, you're going to cast us into the burning, fiery furnace. If it be so, understand, if this command to cast us into the burning fire furnace, if it be so, it says, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and from thy hands, if it be so that we're going to be cast into this furnace. If that is your command, we know that the God that we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And when they said that, Nebuchadnezzar went into a rage. He was filled with fury. And he said, heat up that burning fiery furnace 7 times more than usual. All right, understand this, that I've told you instances when I've known that a crisis arises, nothing this serious, but one man, my retirement of 20 years is about to be abandoned. I cannot do that. Here is something that is no comparison. Here is a man that is going to be cast into a burning fiery furnace. His life is gone. This suffering to be burnt by fire. And they said, it means nothing. If you do cast us into this furnace, you understand, we are not going to worship your gods. But they make that statement with this full understanding. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But what about those poor ones that take a stand for God and wonder, have I made a mistake? Is the God that I serve able to deliver me? Have I been a fool and there is no God, or this God is an impersonal God? That is not the conviction. By faith, it says, they quench the violence of fire. What faith? The faith that the God that they serve is able to accept all the challenges of this wicked Gentile king. And he is able to deliver from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from thy hands. You've challenged him. He's able and he will deliver us if it's his will. But if not, you understand this. We are prepared to suffer the consequences. Now, if I could get that ingrained into my soul, the conviction that my God can do all things, and if it's his will, he will do all things. But it may not be his will. There may be other plans that he has in mind. And if it's so, then I'm prepared to accept the consequences of taking a stand for doing the will of God. The Lord Jesus had all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them set before his eyes in a moment of time. And Satan said, I'll give you all of this if you'll fall down and worship me. And the Savior said, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so our Savior refused all the glories of the kingdoms of the world. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused deliverance and promotion and being benefited of the king, because God's command said, I am the only God that you shall worship. And in this instance, God, who had been challenged, showed that he was not only the God of the mind who could reveal secrets, but he was the God of the elements as well. And he was able to quench the violence of fire. But, dear Christian friend, it may be that today the Lord is not going to do these things. And so what part of the lesson we have to learn is this. But if not, and then we are cast into the fire, and we suffer the pains of death, we still must say, we are not going to serve your gods. We are not going to worship the golden image which thou hast set up. There is one true God. Let us be faithful to him, even unto death. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, thou dost know that it's easy to tell about these Hebrew children who were so faithful to thee, to read about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the other martyrs in the history of the church. But our Father, thou dost know that we've had no such temptation set before us. But let us remember, if it ever does come, these instances that thou hast given us in the Scripture whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Let us look upon these illustrations, our Father, and be strong to live for Thee, to die for Thee. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.